What a great song to be thinking about our great God and King who invites us to come as we are, and he will meet us as we make our way to him, just so that we can see all the great things that he offers, to see the great works that he has already done, continuing to do, and going to do in the future, so that we can go out and live for him. That's what we want to be about here at Townsend Church. We want you to come and see what God is doing in the lives of the people that are here. Come and see what God can do in you so that you can go and live a life that is worthy of his name, in order for all to experience his great love and kindness, just as you get to experience every day of your life. Would you join me as we pray and invite him to work in our hearts this morning as we continue our worship? God, we thank you for being so good, for being so amazing. God, I am thankful for those that are here. I'm thankful for those that are watching at home, for those that are listening in the car in our parking lot. Lord, I am thankful for those that will hear your word today and experience your presence and to know just how amazing you really are. But Lord, we have an enemy out there that wants to destroy us, that wants to fill us with things that are contrary to who you are. And I pray that today we would see that battle clear as day and we would be intentional about going after you. Lord, thank you for being an amazing God of history and the things that you were able to do that we can read about and study and be encouraged by. But Lord, I am thankful for the God that you are today, that you are still changing lives and moving within us to allow us to experience just how amazing you really are. But Lord, I am most hopeful and appreciative of the God that you will be in the future, the one that will return and take us home to be able to spend eternity with you, to see all of these promises and all of these truths and all of these principles that we have devoted our life to come to fruition. Lord, may we live for you, not for heaven. May we live for you because you are worth it. We love you, we praise you, and we invite you in this place, in our homes, in our car, at whatever time we listen to this message today, for you to do what only you can do, in Jesus' name.
By the power of your great love. separates my heart from your great love. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. One thing remains, your love remains.
Father, again, we just say thank you that your love does remain. No matter where we are, what's going on, your love doesn't change for us. May we recognize that and do our part in coming towards you as you continue to draw us closer to you. We love you, we thank you, and we appreciate all that you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for tuning in at home. Thank you for listening in your car. Appreciate you guys being here. Did Seth do a phenomenal job or what? He was amazing. And then Tim, last week, tearing us up, making us think about the decisions that we make, because all of our decisions are important. Even the little ones, even the ones that we think aren't that important, are. And how that tied so well into the things that Seth shared with us and challenged us with about racial justice. And justice, period, in our lives. It's good stuff. Good things to be thinking about and chewing on and working through. And I pray that you have done that over the last 3 weeks and continue to do so. You guys ready for today? I am super excited. I've got 3 weeks of rest and y'all are in trouble. I've got 62 slides that y'all are going to see today. I'm just kidding. Not really. Only 61. Just kidding. All right, here we go. So we're going to jump right back into Matthew and continue our study in Matthew, hopefully. There it is. Perfect. When we think about stuff, stuff gets in the way. You know, Sally and I love to have people over. And one of the main reasons that I like to have people over is it forces us to clean, to declutter. Because you know as well as I do, there are only a small percentage of perfect people in the world that keep their house absolutely clutter-free. And if you have children, that's probably not you, right? And we have little pockets all through our house that when we know somebody's coming over, those pockets get cleaned out. But guess what happens over time? Those pockets are amazing. They just suck stuff right back into them. And so many times we get frustrated. It creates aggravation and a little bit of bitterness and pointing fingers of, well, that's your stuff and you should have done this and why didn't you take care of that? And stuff distracts us from the things that are most important. This past week, I was cleaning gutters at our house. It's something that I don't normally do because we have a really tall fall in the back and it's a little nerve-wracking for me, probably more nerve-wracking for my wife. But I have to sit on the edge, kind of as much body surface as I can get on the roof to be able to scoop out that stuff. And I started thinking about the message today and thinking about gutters. And they are so connected, it's amazing. You see, gutters have this neat thing that they do. They are supposed to take the water and push it one way or the other to where it'll exit off your roof without just going over the edge and destroying your grass or making your land wash away or whatever. It's supposed to disperse the water evenly and accurately. But if we are not careful, your gutters will fill with stuff. Leaves that are beautiful and nice, but when they get in your gutter, they cause problems. and other sticks and stuff from the roof and dirt, and sometimes they even grow trees. I've seen lots of gutters that I've even cleaned out myself that have little trees growing in them. And trees in and of themselves are important, but in the gutter, that's not where they're supposed to be. And isn't that so much like our lives? Our lives as believers are supposed to be conduits of love and grace and mercy and kindness and joy and peace in Christ. And yet, if we are not careful, we allow the cares of the world to infiltrate our lives, that gutter that's supposed to be dispersing all of these wonderful Christian characteristics, and it gums it up. It hinders it from doing what it's supposed to be doing. And yet there's this wonderful thing that I don't like putting on my gutters called a gutter guard. It's a little piece about this long, about this wide, and it snaps in, and it literally keeps all the extra stuff out of your gutter. It allows the water to flow where it's supposed to flow and keeps the extra stuff that would gum everything up out. Now, they're not perfect, but did you know that as a Christian, you have a gutter guard that is perfect? And that when we remain with him and in him and allow him to do what he's supposed to do, his spirit can protect us from all the junk that can distract us. But it's when we are missing those gutter guards and not having the right kind of boundaries. And maybe on certain portions of your life, you're really good. But certain portions of your life, you're missing those boundaries or those gutter guards. Junk will creep in and will stop you up. Pretty interesting thought, right? So let's see, because I know all the time that Jesus always has stuff to say about this. And he actually talks about this very pointedly. So here's the thought that I have for you today. We're all full of something. Now, that's really sad that some of y'all are giggling, because I know where your mind went and you need to stop. But we're all full of something. Sometimes we're full of ourselves. Sometimes we're full of misinformation. Sometimes we're just full of nonsense. But we're all full of something. And if anything, we know as believers, we should be full of the Spirit of God, right? We should be full of him, allowing his Spirit to fulfill us and complete us and move us through. But the reality is, none of us have figured it all out yet, and we are missing little gutter guards in our life that are allowing the gutter of our life that's supposed to let the flow of the Spirit go, it's keeping it from being as efficient and as effective as it's supposed to be. So we're all full of something. My prayer this morning is that as we're looking through this sermon, this text, that God begins to work on your mind to reveal to you what it is in your life that's hindering you, that's gumming up the flow of the Spirit within you, that's keeping you from being the Christian that you know you can be and want to be through Christ. You guys okay with that? Because that's kind of why we're here, right? To help each other out, for allow the Spirit to move in our hearts and reveal things to us to where we can leave this place and attempt to change it through his strength. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, again, we're continuing on. And just a quick reminder as to who we are talking, or who Jesus is talking to in this section. He is talking to the Pharisees, our favorite people. The religious people, the ones that have got it all figured out, that have all the answers, that do all the right things. But Jesus characterizes them as whitewashed tombs and empty, because it's all about the doing and the being, the internal portion of their heart is rotten. It's not there. It's missing what it needs to have. And in Matthew chapter 12, he continues this passage with them, and he continues the conversation, and he says this: when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Now, there's a lot of theology out there that talks about this. There's a lot of teachings that talk about this, and I believe this actually happens, but this was a common thought for the Jews, that spirits just roamed the earth. That they were all over the place. And that's not what we're going to capitalize on today. But I want you to think about this. Now, we're not necessarily talking about demons per se, but spirits such as aggravation, Spirits such as maybe depression or frustration or sin spirits like pride and arrogancy and lust and all of those things. And Jesus says, hey, I want you to know that this is a happening thing. This actually works. And it is, they're traveling around in dry places. Then he says in verse 44, I will return. Now, this is not talking about the man who has gotten this evil spirit to leave him. This is talking about the evil spirit having this conversation. The evil spirit says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Now, this is interesting. So this man, let's play it out as a Christian. He's prayed and prayed and prayed. God, take this pride from me. The pride leaves. The evil spirit of pride leaves him. He's humble. He's in a good place. And this spirit of pride is just out wandering around, and he gets bored. He doesn't find a place that he can cause mischief. And he talks to himself, and he says, you know what? I'm going to go back and revisit that person. I'm going to go back to Alan and see if I can wiggle my way back in. And when he returns to my life, he finds that I have emptied myself of pride, that I've cleaned up all those areas, and that it is nice and tidy. It's clean. I've done the work. I've done all these things. But watch what happens. This is intriguing. Then he, this evil spirit, goes and takes with him seven other spirits. Now, seven is just a popular number. It doesn't mean exactly seven. It just basically is insinuating that when this spirit of pride comes back, it brings more force with it, as much as that will be allowed into this person's life. That's what it's referring to. And he says, seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. He's looking at the religious leaders of this day, the Pharisees, and say, listen, you guys have done an amazing job doing all the right things, but let me tell you a story. There is a man who saw the right thing to do was to get rid of this pride, and he did. And he emptied himself of it, and he cleaned his life up. But that same spirit came back, and he came back with a vengeance. And he looks at the Pharisees and says, that's what's going to happen to you if you don't replace it with the right thing. Now, you may be looking at that thinking, okay, that's kind of, why is that pertinent to us? And can that really happen? And I'm going to say, absolutely. I want you to think back over your lifetime. When you have prayed and prayed and prayed about things and asked God to remove them, and he does, and it's gone. But you did not replace the counterpart of Christ back into your life to replace that, to take that space up. You cleaned house. You got rid of everything. But just like those clutter spots in our house, guess what happens in your life? When you clean house, if you do not take care of it, create the right kind of boundaries, or put back in its place the counterpart to the evil spirit that you got rid of, it will return with a vengeance. You know how I know that? I've experienced that myself. There are things that I have asked God to take away, and by golly, he did. But because I did not do the hard work to rebuild back into my life safeguards, it came back. And let me tell you, when it came back, I knew it. And it whooped me. That's not fun for me. I don't know about you, but I don't enjoy that. In fact, what happens is when I know that it's back, then I get in my own head. Then I start feeling like, well, I'm not a very good Christian. Then I start getting a little depressed and a little down on myself and a little hard on myself and thinking that God doesn't love me anymore. You see how that works? Not only did I get rid of the pride, but the pride came back and it brought with it guilt, frustration, a little bit of bad inward thinking. Those are the evil spirits that it comes back with. Yes, you may get rid of something, but if you do not replace it, it's gonna come back and wreak havoc in your life. Does that make sense? Again, I go back to the gutters. If I don't replace the gutter guards that have flown off in the storm, or I don't replace the ones that are broken, or the ones that aren't working correctly, if I don't replace it, my gutter is gonna junk up again. And if the boundaries that I've used all my life are not working for my Christian walk, then I need to change them. They need to go away. They need to be revamped. They need to be cleaned out and restored properly. And Jesus is looking at these religious leaders saying, hey, you've done all the right things. You know the law. You teach the law. You talk about the law, but you're not living it. It goes back to the thing that we've talked about for years now. The being versus the doing. The doing is amazing. The doing looks good to everybody else. But if the being doesn't match it, then what do you have? Nothing. You're just a good person. The being must match the doing. We must be willing to allow God to work in our lives to take us from where we are to the new place of where He wants us to be. Let me pull out some things here. The Pharisees, I love that Jesus uses these three phrases. I think it's interesting. He says they were clean. They cleaned up. And the Pharisees clean up well because they know the truth. They know what they're supposed to do. And it's swept all on the outside. When you come to our house and you visit us, you're going to see everything is swept and put away. But what you don't see are the piles of clothes and things that we threw on our bed in our bedroom and shut the door. Or the closet that is jammed from top to bottom of coats and everything else that we didn't find a place for and thrown it in there. And you certainly didn't go out and look in our garage. That's the Pharisaical life. It all looks good on the outside. But deep down, the internal is an absolute wreck. And that is the point he is making with these Pharisees. Yeah, they may look good on the outside. They may look, everything is swept and everything is put in order. They may look like they have it all figured out, but their hearts are empty. They're totally empty. And you may be here this morning. You may be listening at home. You may be listening in the car. You may feel that very thing. Yeah, I know all the right answers. I know all the things I'm supposed to do, but I feel empty inside. Let me ask you, when's the last time you sought the Lord to say, why am I so empty? Fill me with your spirit. Yes, God, I know the things I'm not supposed to do, and I know the things that I'm supposed to do, but Lord, I need you to help me with that. So we have to get away from the way that we live our Christian life of thinking that we've got to do everything. We have a responsibility, and we're going to look at that, but there's a responsibility or an opportunity that God has that He's going to do within you. But if we don't leverage that, if we don't maximize that, if we don't submit ourselves to a holy God, it's probably not going to happen. They were busy doing. These poor guys were always busy doing and looking good, but Jesus saw each heart. You remember the religious men that brought the lady who was caught in the midst of adultery? What did he do? He didn't deal with her. He dealt with them. And he said, all right, guys, here's what we're going to do. I appreciate what you're trying to do. You're trying to, on the outside, look at the law and try to do the law. But here's where I'm going to go with that. You who has no sin, you have my permission to chuck the first stone at her head. And what happened with those guys? Jesus didn't deal with the outside things that we think are important. He dealt with the heart, because the heart is the most important part of all of this. If our hearts and our minds are not where they are supposed to be, it does not matter what you're doing on the outside. God wants our heart to be in the right position. And Jesus is talking to these Pharisees and saying, guys, listen. You can make a nice little play and look good, but if you are not careful, you will fall right back into the old ways that you were doing before. And then the unclean spirits. When we study this, it tells us that these are spirits that just never rest. They're restless. They're always on the move. They're doing and going and trying to find people that they can mess with. Now, I don't know about you, but that skeeves me out just a little bit, right? I just want to be left alone. Let me just do my little Jesus thing and leave me alone. But we have an enemy that is not okay with that. We have an enemy that is looking to just absolutely wreck our lives, and they are looking for a place that will allow them to come in and stay for a little while. That little bit of pride that we're not quite ready to get rid of, that little bit of lust that we think we've got under control, it's still there. The envy, the covetousness, the greed. But Alan, that's not what he's talking about. He's just talking about like murder and adultery and lying. You know, the big 10, the one that... No, he's not. Jesus isn't talking about the ones that we can see. He is going deeper. He is going into the heart of man, which is what he has done from the beginning. I find it interesting. Sally forced me to listen to a video this morning. I'm just kidding. She asked me to listen to this video this morning, and it talked about Noah. Noah was an amazing man who built an ark for 100 years and saved his family. And you would think that a man that did something like that would just stay in tune with God forever. And guess what happens? It's not too long after that we find Noah absolutely smashed with alcohol. David, who lived an amazing life, who was chosen by God early to be king and could have had all kinds of retribution towards Saul because Saul mistreated him, but he maintained his character and was a man after God's own heart. And then when he was king, what did we find out last week that happened? He fell. Listen, folks, if we are not careful, if we don't have the right gutter guards in our life, if we don't have the right boundaries in our life, our conduit of the flow of the Spirit will become cut off and will hinder us from being the man or woman of God that we are called to be. Because there are spirits out there that are always looking to find a home. In Job chapter 1, we find an interesting story. Job was a righteous man, a good man. God was pretty impressed with him, and so was the devil. And Satan was ready to attack him, and God said, go after him. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. But when he shows up, look at this interesting question. Jesus basically says, hey, where'd you come from? And look what Satan says. He answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. It's interesting. This is an interesting thought that I always have with myself, because there are times and seasons in my life where I feel like I'm just being attacked from every front. And it's heavy and it's weighted and it's oppressive. But then when I'm able to maintain and keep going and work through that and get to a good place with the Lord, it goes away. And then there's a season of peace and opportunity for relaxing. But then I know it's going to come back at some point, because we have an enemy. We have an enemy that is constantly walking around looking to see who he's going to devour. This is a roaring lion, folks. We were laughing about this in our sermon prep. It's a roaring lion. Y'all heard a lion roar, right? They're pretty loud, pretty intimidating, pretty scary. And if I were out in the jungle and I heard a roaring lion, no matter how close or how far away he was, I'm out. I'm leaving. That's scary to me. Now, here's what's comical about that. We know that, logically, if a roaring lion is coming after us, we're running. But we have a roaring lion coming after us, and we are so distracted, we don't even hear him. This guy is starving for human lives to destroy. This guy is anxiously awaiting any life that he can get his hands into to rip it apart. And he is so loud and obnoxious and arrogant and prideful, and we don't see or hear a thing. Why? Because our gutters are filled up with the wrong stuff. We're full of something, but not the right thing. That is a verse we should all mark in our minds and memorize. To be sober. Be vigilant. Why? Because you have an adversary, and he names him the devil, who walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this is the picture I've always had in my mind. The devil finds me, he pulls me aside, and he says, finally, I've got him, and he chews me up, but he doesn't kill me, and he leaves me on the side, and he leaves laughing, saying, ha-ha, gotcha. And then he leaves me alone, because he's already ruined everything. He really doesn't care about you. He doesn't even care about getting you into hell. He just wants to ruin you so that you'll be in hell with him. It's not because he wants to be friends with you. It's not because he wants to party with you. He hates you, actually. But we have a responsibility to make sure that we are not distracted. Listen, when we live in the Spirit, we absolutely hear and see him coming every single time. But it is when we are not in the Spirit, when we are not living with those proper boundaries in our life, that we get distracted and get devoured. Our distraction could be our lack of intentionality in our walk due to our total complacency with where we think we are with God. Now, I want you to think about that. Our distractions, the things that cause us to not see God where he's at work and to miss the opportunities of Satan to wreck our life, is because of our lack of intentionality in our walk with Christ, because we think we're okay. Well, I'm a Sunday school teacher, or I'm a deacon, or I tithe, or I go to church every time, or I'm a good person. Those are all distractions from the truth of the matter, that we have a responsibility to seek after God every waking moment of our life. And when we get complacent in our walk and think that we are all good, that is when we are distracted. That is when the gutter guards are pulled off and things creep into our life and cause us to miss out on what God wants to do through us, in us, and around us. It's all about the intentionality, folks. That first prayer that you prayed, that's an intentional decision. An intentional saying, I can't do this alone, I need you. That's intentional, right? But it doesn't stop there. We have to get out of this mode of thinking that I've prayed the prayer and I'm all good. Yes, you will go to heaven, but you've got to maintain it and work at it from here on out. It's intentional. It's hard work. It's going after him. It's constantly keeping it on the forefront of your mind. It's constantly checking the gutters of your life, making sure that the proper precautions are taken care of. So what's our responsibility in all of this? Because we do have a responsibility. In fact, I believe our responsibility comes first, because God has already secured this plan and taken care of it. So now we have a job to do. We have a responsibility. And the first responsibility that we have is we must empty ourselves. Yes, there are certain areas of our life that God has to come in and help pluck out. But there are things that I am responsible to do. Listen. If I struggle with pornography, and I pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, God, please don't let me click that button again. Why am I putting the responsibility on God when either I can throw my computer away, or I can chuck the mouse, or I can just never get on a computer again, or on my iPhone, or wherever it's at? Why am I putting the responsibility on him when I am a grown man that needs to take charge of my own life and submit to him and do my responsibility and all that? You may have that extra relationship at work. And you pray, God, please take these feelings that are being created within me for this person. God, please don't put me in a position to have another conversation with him. God, please, please, please. Wait a second. How about you be a grown man or a grown woman and say, you know what? I love my husband. I love my wife. I'm going to avoid that person like the plague, except for when I have to work with them. Where's the personal responsibility in all of this? We have become so soft in our Christian walk that we put all the responsibility on God when he's already carried out his responsibility. He sent his son for you. He made a way that we as sinners become blameless through Christ and can spend eternity with him. He's already done his part. Now it's our turn. It's our responsibility. John the Baptist says it best. If anybody was close and understood what was going on, it would have been John the Baptist. And he knew the moment Jesus came on the scene, he stated, he must increase and I'll decrease. That should be the story of our lives. God, I need to continue to decrease the things that I want and desire so that you can increase in me. That's increasing the stability of those gutter guards. It's creating that flow to be nice and clean and clear. But it requires me to make hard decisions, have hard conversations, and do the right thing. It requires me to do what is right, to love being kind, and to walk humbly with God. That is my responsibility. Yes, God gives us strength and the Spirit guides us and helps us in those areas that we just fall short. But we have a responsibility to do this. You can't rely on your parents' faith. You can't rely on your pastor's faith. You can't rely on the historical faith. You've got to go after God and allow your faith to be strengthened by His Spirit and what He wants to do in you. Because if we don't, something will. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." That's the cleaning house. That's the cleaning of that gutter. That's the cleaning of your living room, of all the clutter. We get a nice, fresh start. We're empty. We're clean. We're set in order. But now we have a job. Now we've got to start protecting that and keeping that and working hard and being intentional. That's why we have cluttered houses. We're just not intentional. We get relaxed and we get a little lackadaisical and it doesn't really matter. We'll get it next time as it gets covered up with more and more stuff. Or is that just us? Okay, good. Just making sure. So we have a responsibility, and our responsibility creates God's opportunity. Now God has a great opportunity. And look at His opportunity. It's He wants to fill us. If we're going to empty ourselves and clean up and get everything nice and tidy, now God has an opportunity to do something with us. We have opened ourselves to Him to say, okay, now it's your turn. Fill us up. Give us what we need. Help us to come after you to see and to make the hard choices and to do what you've called us to do. And when we do this, watch this in Colossians chapter 1. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul is praying for the people and he's asking, listen, here's what we're praying for. He's telling them, we're praying that you wise up, that you have what you need to move forward, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He's saying, here's what we're praying that you'll be filled up with. Your understanding of who He is. Your understanding of who you are in Him. What this whole Christian walk looks like. What does it mean to follow Christ? What does it mean to live a life worthy of the Christian name? What does it mean? What does it look like? And he says, we're praying that God reveals to you slowly and completely and intentionally so that you may choose wisely. Folks, we can pray and confess sin and feel guilty. Those are great things to do. In fact, I would encourage you to regularly do that. But if we do not replace those confessions with truth and with righteous living, it's going to come back. Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time." Why? Why is the time now? Why should we be doing this now? Because the days are evil. And if you can't see that, then your head is buried in the sand. We live in the most evil days probably maybe that we've ever lived in. Possibly, I don't know. It is for us anyway. May have been worse way back in historical times. But he says, pay attention. Take advantage of the opportunity of what God is offering you and redeem it. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So you may have been thinking about, okay, Pastor, I appreciate you telling me I've got to clean house, I've got to get rid of some stuff, but I've got to fill it back up. What do I fill it back up with? There's your answer. That's the answer. And you're like, no, come on. Give me like a 5-step process here. Give me these completely pointed out. That's the answer. The answer for us to be filled with what? Is to be filled with the Spirit of God. That is how this works. Those are our gutter guards. That is what it keeps the junk out and the Spirit flowing perfectly. And it's intentional. It's us going after Him, and it's Him offering His Spirit to live within us and to guide us and direct us. Galatians chapter 5, I love this. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me read that again, because I want you to hear that. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Every waking moment of your life, allow the Spirit to guide you, to help you think, help you speak, help you do. Let the Spirit of God guide you. Why? Because then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By the way, that's kind of one of those big things that hinder us and distract us and pull us away. It's kind of one of the targets that the enemy uses to throw at us and to draw us away from the Spirit of God. And Paul says, no, walk in the Spirit and you'll avoid that. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is such a funny statement to me. He didn't have to say that, but he says it. He says, listen, there are zero laws created ever that say you're not allowed to do those things. Zero. I love that. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. And I would, not that I'm trying to add anything to Scripture, but I would flip that and also say, and if you're going to walk in the Spirit, then live in the Spirit. If you're going to say and do all these things that you say you're doing, then it's got to be in here. But I can guarantee you, if it's in here, you're going to walk correctly. Because it's His Spirit that's guiding us. I want you to notice this. These are 9 different things, right? 2, 4, 6, 8, yeah. 9 different things. These are the things that the Spirit adds to our life as we walk in Him. And those are things that are desirable. We want all of those. And in a dark world, those things shine brighter than anything else. Would you agree? It's what our world is screaming for. We want peace. We want to be loved. We want to be happy. We want to be joyful. We want all of these things. We've got them. We have them because the Spirit that lives within us generates those things to come out of us. But here's what the world experiences. I'm sure some of you may have seen these, the 7 deadly sins. It's not necessarily a biblical text, but all the major scholars, all the major readers, the ones that have studied Scripture throughout time, this is where they come from, and this is how they get there. It's lust and gluttony and sloth and greed, wrath, envy, and pride. Those just sound icky to me, right? They just sound like, ugh. But that is the world we live in. In a place where light should be shining, these things are a glaring distraction. And folks, we can pray for those things to go away. And they probably will, because God is able to do that. But if we do not allow the Spirit to refill us with the Spirit-filled characteristics that He offers us, those things are going to come back, and they're going to come back with a vengeance. I'm not interested in that. Are you? I want to keep a tidy home for Him, but I want to be filled by Him. I don't want to just do the right things. I want to be the right things. There are many things which seem to bring peace and contentment, but are simply distractions. I want you to think about that statement. There are so many things in our world that we think, if we get this, we'll finally be content. We'll finally be happy. But really what happens are those things actually become distractions for us. God is truly the only fulfilling thing for our hearts. I know you've probably heard the song God-Shaped Hole in All of Us, right? That's kind of what that's referring to. We have this space in our lives that it's an odd shape. It's a shape that seems like it can fit anything into it, And we can kind of squeeze some things into it, but there's still some area that's just not covered. It just doesn't fit right. But God does. God has this unique way of filling us properly, perfectly. And that's what he wants to do for each of us. He doesn't want us to live distracted lives, frustrated lives, grief-filled lives. He wants us to live spirit-filled lives. And that only comes from him. Here's some questions I want you to think about this week. Here's the first one. What areas in your life need to be cleaned up? I hope you've been allowing God to move in your mind and to bring things up. I hope he has brought things up, and I hope you haven't discarded him saying, oh, no, that's good. I'm good there. I know even while I've been talking to you, things have been popping in my own head that I've got to work on. Preparing this message, I'm like, oh, man. Right? There are always areas in our, listen, we will always have areas to continue to work on and clean up. And when we get most of them cleaned up, guess what? There's going to be five more that pop up. Don't get discouraged with that, because as we continue to work on these areas and resubmit them to the Lord and be filled with the Spirit in that area of our life, we are becoming more like him. That's the goal in all of this. Don't get discouraged and depressed and think, oh, I'm the worst Christian in the world. No. Keep moving. Keep going. You're becoming more like him. So what areas need to be cleaned up in your life? Here's the second one. What areas have you cleaned up, but you have not refilled properly? They're still empty. There may be in some areas that you've confessed to the Lord or that you've worked on with God and you've cleaned that up. You've removed it. You've taken it out. But you haven't filled that empty space back up properly yet. Maybe that's a conversation you need to have with God. God, I took this out and I've removed this. I took the responsibility to own that this was a problem, that this was a distraction. And you and I talked about it and you helped me remove it and it's gone. But God, I haven't replaced it yet. And I don't want it to come back, so help me to know what I need to replace this with. And if you don't know or you need help, listen, call me. Call Charlie, call Tim, call somebody that you trust that will hold you accountable and work with you to rebuild and put back what God is trying to get you to put back. And here's the last one. What spiritual replacements need to be added to those strained areas? I want to make sure and make it very clear that we can replace the empty areas with a lot of stuff. But the real question is, what spiritual stuff do we need to be putting back? Folks, we're all full of something. Let's make sure it's the right something. Let's make sure that if we talk the talk, that we are truly walking the walk because of the Spirit that lives within all of us. As the praise team comes, let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for all the things that you do and how you speak to us and encourage us and challenge us to live righteously. And Lord, we're not good at it. We have areas of our life that are still unguarded, that are still hindering the true flow of the Spirit in our life. And Lord, my prayer this morning is that you would begin revealing to not just me, but to all of us, areas of our life that don't have proper boundaries, that are really gommed up with leaves and soot and junk. Give us the courage, Father, to own it, to acknowledge it, to confess it, to let it go, to turn it over to you, and then to seek you. To give you the opportunity to work within us to replace it with the right things, to give us guidance, to give us wisdom, to know what it looks like to replace the junk with spiritual discipline. Thank you for what you will do in the hearts, what I know you can do. Help us, strengthen us, give us the courage to give you permission to do work in our lives. We love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we all feel. and forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you guys so much for coming today. God bless you. Don't forget, there are still avenues for you to be able to give. Now, the offering plate on the way out. You can still give electronically. We want to encourage you to continue to do that. Thank you for tuning in at home, for listening in your car. God bless you guys. Have a great week. You guys can go ahead and have a seat, and we're going to, again, dismiss you from the back row forward. Make sure you're kind of going